welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Henrik. This is Red Ice Radio. Thank you for being with us today. Very good to have you here, as always. I guess we need to say Happy Christmas as well, or Good Yule, wherever you are. It's great to have everyone here. Hope you're having a good time in the, what is it, the Christmas rush, I guess. That's what everyone is running around doing. So we have with us today on the show, ladies and gentlemen, our friends Ingrid Karlqvist and Konrad back on the show. It was a while ago you guys were on, so it's always a pleasure having you with us. Thank you to both of you for coming on, and I hope you're having a good time around Yule.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, and good Yule to you too, Henrik, and really nice to be back here on Red Ice Radio.
Well, thank you. Very good. So, you know, we have a couple of things we should discuss here today. There's been a number of things that's occurred since you guys were last on the show. Trump victory, we have the ascendancy of the fear of Russia and Putin to a state which we haven't seen before in Sweden. And apparently they've picked up the fake news claim that's going around in the States as well. So we're definitely going to talk more about that later. But one of the things actually we wanted to address a little bit is some of the scandals, I guess, that have occurred around Lucia already. This is on the 13th. I actually did a video about this, kind of explained some of the background to some of the mythology. We can, you know, discuss that a little bit later. But I guess one of the things that happened, guys, is that we had Åhléns, which is like a, what is that, like a mall. It's like a store that offers all kinds of things from food to clothes and knickknacks and things like this. They did actually put, they take that step into the politically correct world, and finally they placed, instead of a blonde girl as the head Lucia, if you will, they placed a young black boy, right? What were some of the reactions out of the people who saw this ad, guys?
You know, people got really upset. Not with the boy. I mean, the boy is innocent, of course he is. But with Åhléns, this supermarket store, whatever it's called, because people were angry because Lucia is one of the most Swedish traditions that we have. I think it's only in Sweden we celebrate Lucia. And Lucia is a traditionally, she is a blonde girl coming with a light. As you know, Henrik, but maybe not all listeners know, the night between the 12th and the 13th of December was the longest night because we had an old calendar, and not until 1753 we changed to the other calendar, which made the night between the 21st and the 22nd the longest night, the winter solstice. But it used to be the night between the 12th and the 13th. That's why we have Lussevaka, you know, awake, waiting for Lucia. And all the teenagers, they go out and drink, and they have a wake for Lucia. That's an old tradition. And they drink a lot. That's maybe not so good, but that's what we do in Scandinavia, you know. And on this night, the longest night, the darkest night, people were, you know, they were afraid about trolls and all different, you know, kind of scary things that lived in the woods. So they needed a light to bring in the light. And nowadays people think that it has to do with Saint Lucia, a saint from Sicily. But actually, we have a longer tradition than that. We celebrated, actually not celebrated, but we called on Lucifer. Because that, I mean, in the Christian church, they say Lucifer is the devil, but it actually means the master of light. So it's not so strange to understand that the Swedes, in the very dark night of this Lucia night, they called on Lucifer to bring them the light.
Yeah.
So actually, Lucia, I believe, anyway, that the reason why we call it Lucia and not Lusse, which is what we used to call it in the old days, is because, you know, when the Catholic Church came to Sweden, they took all our heathen traditions and turned them into something Christian.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely right. And then, you know, I think it was connected with the Blut. I think it was more or less the same thing. I mean, it was celebrated on the, as you said, the longest night. It was the night of, you're waiting for the rebirth of the sun. I mean, all old ancient European people knew this. They were people venerating the sun, the solar disk. It was, that's the giver of life. It's the most important thing that we have, especially, you know, in the dark and in the cold. You know, is that going to return? Is the cycle going to begin again? Is it going to be renewed? And I think it's about 3 days where the sun actually sits still before it starts turning back again. So between the 20, which is today according to our calendar, between the 21st and the 23rd, the sun sits still, if you will, before it begins moving back again, and the day starts to get longer. So it's actually even some overlap with Jesus being in the tomb for 3 days before he's arisen again. So there's all these kinds of overlaps. But one of the interesting things there that you mentioned is, of course, that the celebration of light was something that is so ancient that when the Catholic Church came in, they just appropriately took one of the saints that they thought I think by word fitted this aspect, right? In Latin, it's called Lux, or Lucifer, the light bringer, the light giver. So they gave this name to this this holiday. But what's interesting is that they couldn't transplant and take away all the pagan elements of the holiday, because it was so powerful, it was so sacred, that no matter what they did, all they could do is change the name, but the traditions remained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is why, you know, when you write about this on Twitter, for example, you know, people got all crazy. Why? What are you saying? Lucia, she doesn't have to be blonde. She was from Italy. And try to explain to them. They know nothing about this. But even if Swedes don't really know the story anymore, we know that this is our tradition and this is something sacred to us. Maybe we just, you know, drink a lot of vodka and so on. But it doesn't matter, because Swedes know deep inside this is a tradition that we've been celebrating this since we were little kids. And when Orleans did this thing with the little black boy with the crown, with the lights, as he was the Lucia, people got upset, because it's like they're spitting on our tradition.
Yeah.
And that makes people sad.
Absolutely. I'm glad that they do it to a certain extent. I mean, I think they probably do it for their own selfish reasons. They know that there's no such thing as bad publicity, so it helps to get the word out about them.
And they got what they want. They got a few hateful comments. I mean, a few idiots attacked the boy. I mean, as Ingrid said, it was not the boy's fault. I mean, I guess he's like 7 or 8 years old or something like that.
Sure.
And some people, you know, yeah, fucking nigger and stuff like that. But that was like a really small minority. But, of course, the mainstream media focus on this, and then again, oh, look at racist Sweden, oh, they hate this black boy, they kill him, and yada, 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 all this bullshit. So they got exactly what they wanted, and then they were able to withdraw the campaign, saying, oh, this is because of the poor boy. So, you know, they do this amazing thing where they put a black boy as a Lucia to show how wonderfully multicultural we are, and then they also try to protect this poor boy. So I think for them, it's a really, really good, PRQ, coup, or whatever you want to call it. I guess it works for them, but I think also that many Swedes, I mean, the attack on Christmas and the attack on our traditions is getting so, I mean, stupidly obvious. So people are finally starting to react. I mean, we had the same thing last Christmas, right? And really, you remember the rapper in the church? I mean, it's just silly. Nobody likes it. And we just want, could I please have just a traditional Lucia celebration?
But see, that's good, though, because that means that people are going to, they want and they crave the old tradition. It's going to cause those who are, you know, are inclined more to the conservative aspects, if you will. They're going to reach back even further, while while the opposition, if you will, in this culture war that we have right now, the schism, they're going to go even further to make things absurd and as far away from tradition as possible. So it's going to be a split at some point where you're going to have the real hardcore traditionalists, and then you're going to get the insane cultural Marxists that are going to, you know, who knows, it's going to be some Rastafari, you know, event eventually or something.
And this is such a great sign that we are winning, because, you know, they're getting more and more bizarre. And tomorrow there's going to be some new bizarre multicultural weird thing, and people are starting to react, even common people who, I'm not a racist, but I kind of don't like a black small guy as a Lucia, that's a bit too much. So they're doing this all wrong, which is great. I mean, we're winning, obviously.
Yeah.
They know it, they try to fight it, they behave worse and worse, and they're just helping us, actually. I don't think they know it, though.
What I see, though, is that it's warfare. I'm not saying that the Orleans may be, you know, personally, that they sit around their company board and say, ha, let's stick it to the Swedes or whatever. I think there's probably some idiots in there that are just like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And it's something new, and, you know, it's so boring with all these traditions, yada, yada. But it's used as a weapon, you know, against us. And it's a moral, it's like thrusting a dagger into our morality, if you will, almost. Because, you know, we have had this tradition for a reason. It was a young, usually a very pretty girl, blonde, not always blonde, but in many cases blonde, as a representative of the return of light. I mean, that's why she wears a crown of lights. She comes back, she gives you know, even these glowing saffron buns. She comes with these gifts, right? And they are on themselves are almost like glowing. You know, that's why they went with saffron, because it was like a yellow, goldish kind of glow from it. All these things are very symbolic and very ritualistic. And for them to try to put a damper on this and go in the opposite direction just shows how much they hate traditions. They hate the things that we have done for, you know, centuries and centuries, and all they want to do is upset and change and transform our culture. And I think people are finally beginning to see their true intentions, and they're turning away from it. They don't like it.
Yeah, and I was really happy to see, you know, the Swedish television, they send this show, the Lucia show, every Lucia morning. And this year I saw it, and I was really happy to see that this year, you know, a few years ago they had a black girl as a Lucia, and between all the traditional Lucia songs and Christmas songs, there came a rapper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were so angry. But this year it was very traditional. It was filmed in the Varbergs Festning, the castle of Varberg. It's a very old castle. It's very traditional. And nearly all the girls singing in the choir were Swedish girls. There were a few, you know, like Korean adoptive children and so on. But I should say 95% of them were like Swedish girls, light blonde or dark blonde, and they were so pretty, and everything was traditional. Only old traditional songs and some new songs, but no rapper.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, but I think, as well, I just want to comment on this quickly, the Sicily thing, right? That's Saint Lucia, she was a saint, Jimmy. Her day was actually remembered, I believe, in June or something, or maybe it was February, I forget, but it was not during December. It was not one of her days, you know. But they took this, of course, because it fitted, as I said, they tried to transplant it. But this idea, too, I saw on a TV show in Sweden a couple of years ago, also another celebration. There was an actor sitting there. He was, you know, telling the audience, the TV audience, that, well, she can't possibly have been blonde because she was from northern Italy or yada yada. It was like, that's also ridiculous. I mean, there's like, there was a amber trade route between Scandinavia and northern Italy for centuries. And, mm-hmm. and it was actually one of the areas that had most Scandinavians in it, except Scandinavia was actually in the region around northern Italy. So who knows? Maybe they even were Scandinavian descendants, some of these people that were down there at that time. As you said, Ingrid, we talked before the show, if you look at a lot of the, you know, statues and everything from the Roman Empire, I mean, they almost look Germanic, those people. It's almost like they're more Nordic in origin than maybe if you compare to some Greek people today, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and suddenly, I mean, it's the same thing every Christmas here in Sweden. We're just bombarded with, the Christmas isn't as you think, it's not Swedish. You know, the Christmas tree is German, the meatballs are Turkish, the Santa Claus is, I don't know, Italian or whatever. And just this constant war, telling the Swedes that nothing that you think is yours is yours. You have nothing. You have nothing. You are nothing. You have no roots. You have no right to this country. And again, I think people are finally starting to react against this and saying, is nothing ours? Can't we have anything without you just pissing on it? Because they are pissing on it. And they really, I mean, they want to show it to us. And we had, in all of the small cities in Sweden now, it's suddenly a law against having, you know, lights on the light poles. Because suddenly, oh no, the light poles can't handle the weight. A lot of places are saying, no, we can't have a Christmas year Christmas tree this year because we don't have money or whatever. We see, I mean, Christmas is shrinking each year, and it's really disgusting. And again, I think people are starting to react because there is a war going on against this modern thing we call Christmas. But so what if it's modern? It's a tradition, and we want to keep it.
Well, it is ours, and it is ancient. I mean, it doesn't matter how much yes, of course we've taken some, you know, imports that we couldn't get, you know, 2,000 years ago. I mean, ginger is not something we had to make gingerbread cookies. You know, stuff like that, obviously. But it's the idea of the central, you know, tenets in the tradition itself. Those are ancient, and some things have added on during the time. But it's not some multicultural holiday or anything like that. I mean, this is as you know, foundational that you can get when it comes to an ancient tradition from the tree itself that you get in stories such as with the Yggdrasil out of the Norse story. You know, you take the tree inside as a representation of the world tree. You decorate it, right? You hang even think about it, these red decorations, the Christmas, you know, ornaments that we hang in the tree. Those are literally in the same manner as they used to hang sacrifices in these sacred groves and sacred trees. I mean, some people even said that's why they're red. They're dripping of blood. It's blood and flesh that's hanging off the branches in the tree. And it might sound morbid, but the fact is, you know, we had a veneration to the aspect of sacrifice, of giving life to making something sacred. And that's how many of the Germanic people developed into a situation where they considered groves or trees themselves to be sacred, because it was the gifts that we gave that gave the gift of life that made these things special, and it was something that separated itself from the rest of the environment that they were around. And I see this as a beautiful expression, although we don't have to hang, you know, dead flesh in the trees today. of us hanging ornaments is actually a continuation of that tradition, you know, of giving.
It is. And the sad thing is that so few people know about this, Henrik. I saw Lana's video last year, and I will watch it again now, and I will, you know, spread it on Facebook and Twitter, because that is so, it was like an epiphany for me when I saw it, because everything came clear. All the traditions that we have, the rest of the world had just snatched it from us. All the traditions. I mean, even though, of course, the Swedish Christmas, we took a little bit from Germany, we took a little bit from that, but essentially all the traditions about Christmas, even the colors, are from us, and we don't know about it. The Swedes have no idea anymore, and that's what makes the Swedes so uncertain. So they can't even, you know, be happy about Christmas, because there's always someone telling them, oh, the Christmas tree is from Germany, it's not yours, you're bloody bullshit, you don't know anything, you have nothing.
Yeah.
It's so retarded. I'm sorry. I just read an article yesterday about like 9 reasons why the Swedish Christmas isn't Swedish. And one of the examples they use is, did you know that Donald Duck is really American? Yeah, I know that.
Because
whoever thought he was Swedish.
Well, preface that too, by the way, for those who don't know, that there is a, you know, cartoon series, like an editor's bad job from various Disney movies that run every year on Swedish television. It's actually one of those bizarre things that when you tell people from abroad, they're like, "What the hell are you talking about?" It's like the most bizarre thing ever.
People who not live in the USA should know this. Christmas Eve at 3 o'clock, I think it's 3 o'clock. About like 3 million Swedes sit down in front of their plasma TVs and watch Donald Duck from the 60s. And, you know, and it's, I mean.
But that's the beginning of the cultural warfare right there. Talk about trying to placate the holiday and take it off into Disney World. You know, it's like.
But also a weird part of Christmas. I don't watch it anymore. But, I mean, for you, Ingrid, and for you, Henrik, this is a big part of Christmas, right? You don't have to watch Kalanka, but you know you watch Donald Duck Kalanka at 3 o'clock. That's what people do in Sweden. Sadly, but still, it's like a tradition. I mean, and I think nobody thinks that Donald Duck is Swedish. I mean, if you do that, you should go to like a mental asylum or something. But again, this is the level of like intelligence that they try to put on us to say that, well, the Swedish Christmas isn't Swedish because Donald Duck is American. I mean, it's just retarded. It's ridiculous. And again, people don't buy it anymore.
And you have to understand why this Donald Duck on Christmas Eve at 3 o'clock became so popular, because when I was a kid, there was no cartoons on TV. The only time once a year you could watch cartoons was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock, you could watch Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and all the other ones. And that's why it became so big. And also because in Sweden, it's Christmas Eve we celebrate, not Christmas Day. So on Christmas Eve, all the kids, they go waiting for Santa Claus the whole day. You wake up early in the morning and you get a Christmas stocking and you have a little present there and some candy and so on. And then you go all day just waiting. And at 3 o'clock, At last, something nice is happening. You can watch the cartoons with Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, and after that, you know Santa Claus will knock, knock, knock on the door.
It's almost like, what do you call that, Pavlovian, right? You condition people. So it's almost like, you could literally have had people watch a bullcrap or something, and they would be like, still very exciting because you know what's to come. You know?
Anyway, absolutely.
They picked Donald Duck, and I guess that was some decision by some of the executives at state-controlled television at the time, unfortunately. But, you know, I get your point, Ingrid. It was something new at the time, you know?
It was. And, you know, nowadays, it's the people in my generation. We have, like, grandkids now, and we want the grandkids to sit watching this, but they don't care because they have cartoons all over the place.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's still going.
Short clip from Disney have been censored because they show a black person at the doll, and they also show a Jew. So they had to cut this out, which was also, I mean, a form of debate around 2012. I don't know how it's now, Inger. Do you know, is the Jew and the black girl back? Do you know this?
No, I don't think she's back. I think she's out forever.
It's really interesting. But, I mean, if you're not from Sweden, you don't understand any of this. But in Sweden, there was quite a lot of discussion about this. Should you cut out black people from New Year's Eve Disney saga, or shouldn't you? And, I mean, I obviously don't care. It's just really interesting that people find this something to be debated, because this was almost headline news. Should we have black people in the New Year's Eve, in the Christmas?
And now you might get the impression that we don't like black people. No. It's not at all like that. There is this little cartoon with Santa Claus. He's sitting in his factory making all the Christmas gifts for the kids. And there is a little black doll. And he looks at her, and she laughs, ha 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 ha, and she gets all these curls in her hair, you know, like there is a machine putting curls in her hair. And then Santa Claus, he says, oh, 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 like he does, and then he puts an okay on her buttocks.
This and sounds
really strange.
What,
when
what the hell is going on here? Yeah, exactly as you say, that this is part of Swedish tradition. Could be more, not something that doesn't do with Disney, please.
But they're basically saying that the very aspect that in a cartoon they dare to kind of like show stereotypical traits that belong to black people, that in itself is racist, right? So it should be cut out.
Yep.
Yeah. This is a cartoon from the 1940s or something like that.
Right.
It's absolutely stupid. And it doesn't, you know, it's not that a lot of black people suddenly get offended. It's because of all these leftists that they want to crush all our traditions. And since this silly Christmas cartoons at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve is very important to a lot of Swedish people, that's why they go after it. That's why they want to crush it. Take it all away.
Yep.
Yeah, it's insanity, folks, and we have to fight. We have to retain our traditions. We have to double down and take go even further back and become more vigilant with it. I think we should do some more blute type things and kind of bring back even some of the older traditions. And I know that there's, of course, today there's plenty of these things that are starting to pop up again in Sweden and in Norway and Denmark and other places around Europe as well. So I think it's going to be a pushback. I think they're not going to be able to get away with it as easily as they want. And the more that they make this absurd in terms of their fight against us and our traditions and everything, the more people are going to want to go back and retain their own. So I don't it's not going to be as easy as this. They might control, you know, they control the television right now. They control the narrative or whatever. But that could change, you know, in a country like Sweden where it takes it takes very little to a certain extent to kind of make the conformity change flavor and go in a different direction. If we can do that, who knows? Maybe in 10 years from now, we can have just only a very, very traditional Christmas, you know. So we have to see. We have to see.
I mean, we're doing it. We're doing it now. And I think I talked to our viewers, our listeners, about 2017 will be the year of victory. We're going to win a lot of big victories. I mean, 2016 was a great year with Trump and Brexit that everybody always have been talking about. But 2017 is going to win us. I really think we're going to win the people back. The Swedes and maybe the Europeans are going to finally understand what's going on and understand that this is not the path to go. We need to go another path. And that's going to happen next year. I'm sure of it.
Me too. And what I find really interesting is that I see I have a lot of followers on Twitter, and a lot of them are from America and different parts of the world. And quite a few of them, they say when I, you know, when I show different videos and stories from Sweden, they say, "Do you want us to feel sorry for you? You voted for these politicians. Yep. You just let Sweden just, you know, sink down to the bottom. We will not help you. We don't care for you. You brought this on all by yourselves." And I can understand that many people say this because they are fed up with all the bad news from Sweden, and they know that Swedes actually voted for these politicians. But I, what I want to tell all these people is that when the same time as they say this to us, we in Sweden are starting to wake up. And I know this is difficult to understand. How come the Swedes slept for so many years, voted for these stupid politicians? And I actually plan to write a book about this. And I want to call it From Sweden to Absurdistan. I want to show what happened in Sweden from the 1970s, when all this started, and up until now. We used to be Sweden, now we are Absurdistan. And I think that a lot of people will, if they read the book, and I hope I will be able to publish it in English too, because I know there are so many people out there just wondering, what happened to you?
Yeah,
you're the Vikings. What the... I don't want to say the world.
That's okay.
Whatever happened to you?
Yeah.
How did you lose your pride, your self-respect, everything? And I think I have some of the answers. Mm-hmm. And just let me tell you one of the answers. When I lived in Denmark for a year or so, people always said to me, "How come you in Sweden are not nationalists?" Because in Denmark, you always see the Danish flag, it waves everywhere, and Danes are just, they're very, you know, aware of their country. They love their country, they're Danes, they are proud of that. But in Sweden, you don't see the Swedish flag in so many places, and people don't say they are nationalists, they don't say they are patriots. And how come? And I really thought a lot about this, and then suddenly one day it just struck me, it's because we know that we are the best country in the world. And when you are best, you are not supposed to brag about that. So we don't talk about it, but we know we are the best country in the world. And we have been thinking like this. All the people who come to Sweden, they will have another culture, they will have another tradition, but when they come to Sweden, they will see we are the best country in the world, and they will all want to become just like us. And now the Swedes have finally woken up to the news that, no, they don't. They don't think we are the best country in the world. They don't love us. They don't love our tradition. They don't love democracy. They don't love our values, and so on and so on and so on. So when the rest of the world are writing Sweden off, saying, "You are going down and you deserve it," I will tell you, the Swedish people are waking up. The Vikings are waking up. And 2017 and 2018, you will see a lot of changes in Sweden. I assure you.
Yeah. And I mean, we do our podcast, but and that's really fun and important. But I think the most important thing that I do is getting people to meet. And I meet real Vikings every day. I mean, modern Vikings, obviously. They don't want to fight, but oh my God, they are ready to fucking fight. They're just waiting for someone to tell them, well, now is the time. And I understand that, I mean, you know this too, Henrik, that the world must look at Sweden like, what the hell happened? Where are the men? They're just, you know, feminists and people who change their genders and this and that, but that's not true. There's a few of those, and there's a few people, I mean, somewhere in between, but there are a lot of Vikings waking up, and I mean, if we just can help them and make this a positive thing, I'm really sure we're gonna save Sweden. It's gonna be horrible, but it's going to happen, because we cannot lose. I mean, this is my land, this is my blood, this is my earth. People are not going to take this away from me. They can try, they are trying, and I mean, watch it. In 10 or 15 or 20 years, ooh, they're going to regret it.
I think there's something with the psyche and the mentality, which is actually, it's a very tolerant one, and it's one that's is pushed to the edge before they do something. I actually think even the Viking Age itself, the beginning of the Viking Age, can be actually be seen as an example of this mentality, where there was, obviously, it wasn't that there wasn't nothing. It wasn't that the rest of Europe never heard from Scandinavia ever, and then all of a sudden they just exploded with violence onto the scene, if you will. It wasn't as cut and dry like that, but in terms of a pushback, you know, we can speculate why the Viking Age began. What was really the incentive? Was it a protection of their own culture, so they wanted to fight back against the Christian countries? You know, who knows? We can speculate. But nonetheless, it's a reflection of that explosivity, that they waited to the last moment almost, and then at that point, it sent shockwaves all over Europe, and actually the whole military, like, strategy and defense system and how warfare post Viking Age was fought was changed and developed because of what happened during the Viking Age. You know, the fortifications and certain things, and, you know, defense lines and how you did certain things was literally in preparation or in anticipation of, like, Viking attacks and stuff like that. So I think there is something with the reflection of that that we can look at, and I think that, you know, as you said, Conrad, you know, they're holding away the expressions of those kinds of people. It's almost like an occult, you know, attempt to make people believe that there isn't any opposition in the country, right? Those people, those men are not even there. They're gone now. Nothing's going to happen. But the fact is, they're not going to lay down and just roll over. That's ridiculous. There's thousands of these people out there, you know?
These are Nordic men, ladies and gentlemen. Don't make the Nordic men angry. Because, I mean, we're going to take it, and then finally, well, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. It's going to be an eradication of all the, you know, politicians and all the journalists and all the people who have tried to kill us. I mean, because, as we said before, this is a war. This is a real war. Maybe not the war that people think of war, but, I mean, this is a culture war. People are trying to kill us. They're trying to eradicate everything that is good with the Nordic countries. But, obviously, we're not going to take it.
That's right.
And I'm positive, you know, you always portray Swedes as, you know, just clenching their fists in their pockets. We are not like the French. We don't go out on the street and scream and, you know, try to protest and stop things. Okay, we're not like that. But we have a very long way before we get angry. First we clench the fists in the pocket, and then when we get mad, we get really mad. And I'm sure you will see the return of the Vikings in just a few years.
Yeah, and I mean, the best strategy to tell to someone is just like, oh, it's already over. Yeah, you already lost. And that's why defeatism, I guess, is the saying, isn't it, Henrik?
Yeah, that's from my point, that they're trying to almost, like, wish this into existence, you know, that it's like, oh, it's a done deal. They're gone. It's, haha, we won, right?
Mm. But again, I meet people every day who just, well, I hear that it's over. I don't care. I'm still going to fight. And that's the thing. Who cares if we're going to win or lose? That's not the thing. We're going to fight. We're going to fight for, you know, our right to live here, for our children, and for our ancestors. We're going to fight to defend this piece of land that we have been given. And we're going to fight until the death, if we have to, obviously.
That's
and
right.
I mean, our enemies aren't that strong. And people might think they're strong, but they own the media, they do this and they do that, but that's nothing compared to this Viking rage. It's going to come in soon.
And of course, I mean, it will be, you know, bloody and horrible, and we will have civil wars, and we will have a hard times ahead of us. But never forget, we will win.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are smarter than they are, and we are righteous. These are our countries. Europe is our continent. So we will fight for what is ours. They fight for something that they want to conquer, and we are righteous, and we will win. Never forget that. That is so important.
Yeah, it's our home turf. It's incredibly difficult for a foreign invading army to take and hold, you know, territory like that, and they don't have as much skin in the game as they say, you know, as we do. And frankly, I'm not afraid. I've said this before, but I'm not afraid of, like, you know, oh my God, the infrastructure is destroyed, or, you know, buildings crumbles, or, you know, who cares about? We can rebuild all that kind of stuff. It's the the makeup of who we are. I mean, even you can't destroy traditions. I mean, of course, unless you eradicate the people that hold those traditions. But as long as we are there as a people, that our biological unique expression exists as Nordic people, then that's never going to disappear. And we can sort any of these situations out. Many of these people, many of our problems that we struggle with today, they have, some of them, yes, sure, they have occurred over a longer period of time. But, you know, as you said, in the 1970s, that's really when this cultural Marxism and everything began. And historically, that's not really a long time. This is like a parenthesis historically. It's nothing. I mean, we were
like a blink of an eye.
Yeah, I mean, we were a nationalist country up until, like, I'd say 1950s. I understand it became unfashionable after the Second World War, obviously, but before that, we were a nationalist country, and we kind of had a socialism of our own. So we were socialist nationalists, right? And that was the norm. You took care of your own people. You did all your own things for them. It was for them you did all these things. This is an anomaly. And frankly, if we can regain the willpower and the political know-how how to sort out these situations, it's going to get done. We're going to get it done one way or another, because these are mistakes that has occurred politically, and we just need to set these mistakes correct, set them right again, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, what people don't understand these days, you know, the social democrats that really built the Swedish welfare state, and they are in power again now, but there is not so much left because, you know, they already, their mission, their project was finished in the 70s. And so they didn't have any voters anymore. They understood that all the workers, they had now become middle class, and they didn't want to vote for the Social Democrats anymore. So that's why they started importing new voters. But what people nowadays don't know, because now the Social Democrats are all about multiculturalism and, you know, asylum and la, 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 la. But what they don't know is that as late as the 1950s, the leader of the Social Democratic Party, every time he held a speech, when he was finished, the last thing he said was, "Varen svenske," that means be Swedish.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so nationalistic. That is wonderful. And, you know, can you imagine our Stefan Löfven, the Prime Minister of Sweden today, saying something like, be Swedish? Never. But no. It's just 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like nothing. The blobfish has nothing on us. God, he's ugly, Stefan Löfven, isn't he? He looks like that blobfish. Have you guys seen that? The comparison image? Oh, my God. He needs to go.
Guys, you can't help what he looks like.
No, I know. I'm just making fun.
The problem is that he's ugly inside.
Yeah. But also on the outside. We need to make fun of these people, for Christ's sake. You know? What's going on, guys? What's going on right now with the Russophobia? Let's talk about this a little bit. I saw just the other day that, you know, I mean, think about this. As we literally are having an invading army of men pouring into our countries, Sweden's defense system is worrying about basically Russia going to invade Scandinavia or something like that. I mean, this is retarded. These people are absolutely retarded.
But some people really seem to think that tomorrow, or maybe next day, or maybe next week, Russia is going to risk starting a nuclear war with America because they want to invade Sweden. I mean, just as you said, that is so retarded. But I don't know why, Ingrid, you had some thoughts about this. Maybe it is because to just turn the Swedish people's attention away from what's happening in Sweden. Maybe, I don't know what the thing is, but it's so, for me, it's so obvious. What have Russia done? I mean, nothing.
First of all, you have to understand that.
Oh, yeah.
For decades, Russia has been the enemy of Sweden. We have always been afraid of Russia. It was always the threat from Russia, and it goes way back, long before the Cold War and everything. It's always been. We've been at war with the Russians many times during the centuries. So Swedes are, you know, they're like prone to be scared of the Russians. But nowadays, I mean, look at it. 20, 25 years ago, Russia was Soviet Union, and it was a communist dictatorship country. It was a horrible country. And then you could really be afraid, but then the Swedes were not so afraid.
Well, we had some elitists, though, Ingrid, that was very, I mean, they loved to flirt with communism, they went to trips over there, and they what I'm saying is that some of these cultural Marxists in particular, they loved it when they were commie, you know, but now when they've turned away from it, oh my God, they're so conservative, right?
Yeah. Now that Russia they are so close to the Western world nowadays, or the Western world that it used to be. They like the nuclear family. They like the country. They don't want the Islamization of the country. They like the church, and they are standing for all the things that Western Europe used to stand for. And now we hate them. Now we are deadly scared of them. But I think that the reason that they talk about the Russians all the time and Putin and he's horrible and everything, it's because they want people to focus away from the real threat. The real threat is the Islamization of our continent. So if people, you know, get afraid of the Russians, they will, you know, maybe they think that they will forget about the Islamist threat. But I think that maybe that could have worked 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Now it doesn't work. The Swedes are not that stupid. I've even seen many places in Facebook and on Twitter, Swedes saying, oh my God, if I have to choose between Islamists and Putin, please Putin, come here and save us.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
You can save us if you want to. Just free us of the Islamists.
Yeah, come here. Help us out. Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's just like, you know, there's been different waves of destruction of Europe. You know, communism was a big threat at one point, and you had what is considered to be the biggest boogeyman and evil man ever that was fighting communism in Europe at the time, of course, and probably prevented communism from taking over and devouring Europe entirely, and instead stopped it in its tracks, and it was delegated to Eastern Europe and Russia primarily. But as you say, today it's a very different threat. It's a Islamic one. They want to extend their caliphates and you know, expand into our region. We should be working together with nations like Russia at this point and help each other out militarily and make sure that Europe, because Russia belongs to Europe, that they are on the same page as us and we have the same values. But I think what's happening, which is interesting with the Trump win and everything else, is that we're seeing a shift in attitude. You have Le Pen in France, very friendly towards Russia and Putin. There's other people in other countries. I think Orban in Hungary is on pretty good terms with him as well. So that shift could actually start happening even in the higher levels of the political system, which of course would be great as far as I'm concerned. So let's cooperate. Let's solve some of these issues. I mean, can you guys imagine a nuclear war between like NATO and Russia at this point when we're already demographically weakened? That would kill us off. That would be a disaster.
I mean, that's it. That's one of the biggest wins. I mean, I love Trump. I hate Hillary. But, I mean, if Hillary would have won, I would be really worried about a real thermonuclear war. I mean, that would be it. That would be it. No more podcasts, no more internet, no more TV, no more food, no more living. I mean, just walking around in this radiated, you know, desert and just dying off. Because Hillary, as you know, was really aggressive. She wouldn't, I mean, I don't think she would have started a nuclear war, but it would be possible.
Her neocon buddies certainly would.
Yeah. Well, Trump said, hey, why not be friends with Putin? And Hillary used the argument against Trump. He wants to be friends with Putin. How can that be something bad? I mean, that's a big for me, finally.
Big relief.
With white Christian countries fighting against each other, that happened during World War II and World War I, it cannot never happen again. We must understand that white people must work together, always, always, and try to work our differences out without war. And I mean, I would love it. We would be never any war ever. But I mean, let's be realistic. Let's start with not killing each other, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see this as manipulation by external forces, by hostile interests. They don't really, you know, care about us or Europeans. They might even see Europeans as an enemy for various reasons. And the fact is that, you know, I don't know everything about, you know, Putin or where he is on certain issues. And he's seemed to have made maybe some stupid decisions here and there. He might be, as some leaders are, autocrats. But so what? I mean, he's not you know, he's the Crimea situation, he wasn't an aggressor there. I mean, it seems if you look at the material available, he was actually trying to take care of the Russian population in Crimea.
Yeah.
Because it was the Ukrainians that had been manipulated by external forces. You had Americans in there, like Nuland and Kagan and these people. They were meddling and manipulating with Ukrainian interests to turn them against Russia. And Russia basically responded to that and said, screw you, that's it. We're we're taking care of our own people here. And that's how they annexed Crimea. So, you know, good on them for that.
And Crimea only belonged to Ukraine for like 50 years or
that's
something.
Right.
It was always a Russian country.
Yeah, primarily Russian speakers, and yep, that's right.
Yeah, but you know, just to give you an idea of how bad the propaganda against Russia is in Sweden these days. A couple of weeks ago, we had there was a Swedish show every Sunday called Agenda. And it's like they talk about political stuff and so on.
And they don't have an agenda, by the way, folks.
No, of course not. Agenda with an agenda.
Yeah.
But this time, for the first time ever in history, the boss of the Swedish military intelligence operations, I don't know what it's called, MUST in Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The man who is the boss there is the first time ever that this military intelligence organization ever did an interview. And he came on this show and he said, well, you've got to know that Russia, they are very keen on this sort of influence operations. They try to influence the Swedish people in different ways, and he was very solemn, you know, very, 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 like he was
extremely serious. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very serious. And I thought, well, of course, that might be right. Of course, I think a lot of countries try to influence other countries and other people, but the problem is not that. You know, because he said it's not like they want people in Sweden to take their stance, but to want them, they make them start to not believing in their own leaders anymore. And I said, wow, you know, they have, this is so easy for the Russians if that is what they want, because Swedes don't trust their own leaders anymore. And it has nothing to do with Russia.
No.
It has all to do with the Swedish leaders lying to the people all the time. So if that's what the Russians want, well, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
People writing like, you think the massive migration of Muslims to Sweden, you think that's bad? That's Putin talking. Yeah, that's
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and they will take a rational stance on anything, and you know, suppose that, well, that's what Putin wants, so we have to do the exact opposite, or you know, whatever he wants, we cannot by any means do any of that. I think you're talking about the military intelligence and security services in Sweden, and of course there, I thought that there were some people maybe within the military and intelligence services in Sweden that had their head screwed on right, and they actually understood some of this. But that's unfortunate, you know, to hear that some of these people are there to spread these lies and this. I mean, what let's think about this. What would Russia gain from manipulating? I mean, is it the old NATO question or something that, oh my God, they want to try to, you know, convert these countries to know? I mean, well, officially Sweden isn't a member of NATO anyway, right? So what is our skin in the game? There isn't anything there. Why would they want to manipulate us?
Well, I can imagine that, you know, Russia is surrounded by different Islamic countries, and they have a lot of problems with Islamist people. They had a lot of Islamist terrorism in Russia. So I believe that the Russians and Putin, they don't want to see Sweden as a Sharia state. And if we don't do something now, Sweden will become the first Sharia state in Europe. That will never happen, of course, but because I and Conrad and a lot of other people will stop that. But if we weren't here and things were, you know, just going the way the government wants it, we would become the first Sharia state in Europe. And I don't think that Russia wants that. They don't want another neighbor who is an Islamist country.
Yeah, interesting point. Hey, guys, we can take a short break here in a little bit. I want to continue to talk more about the Russian situation. Supposedly, of course, they helped Trump to win and all these kinds of things. You know, what, we need to talk about the Trump reactions in Sweden. It's been as hilarious to see as in America, of course. But also talk a bit about some of the fake news claims and actually also the ascendancy of alternative media in Sweden. So there's a lot of interesting things we should get into. But, guys, how can people listen to your show? I know that's primarily, of course, you do it in Swedish, but we have a lot of Swedish listeners. Give us the websites, guys, and tell us where people can go to check out the podcast.
Yeah, please go to ingridochkonrad.se. It might be hard if you're not Swedish, but actually 2017, Ingrid, we're going to start to do a monthly newscast that we try to we talk about news three times a week. We're going to try to press this down and try to summarize everything weird in Sweden once a month in English, actually. We don't know the name for it yet, but we're looking forward to that. So I guess, well, maybe we should start have an English website for that, Ingrid, actually, when I think about it.
Yeah, I think we should do that. And, of course, it will be something like News from Absurdistan. something like that. But I think, I know there is a big interest out there for Sweden, because we are like the canary in the coal mine. A lot of people around the world know that Sweden is the country that is mostly hit by the Islamist immigration, and the Islamization has gone far here. So I think that there is a great interest of what is happening in Sweden. So that's why we decided to once a month we will do an English podcast, keeping people up to date with what is going on in Sweden, all the most crazy news in the month.
But for all the Swedish listeners, just Google Ingrid and Conrad with a C, and you will find us. I guess that's the easiest way to find us.
All right, we'll have links up, ladies and gentlemen. Please check out the website. They do great work. They keep an eye on things from our perspective in Sweden, so do check it out. All right, folks, we'll take a short break here. Do join us in the second segment, redicemembers.com. Get a membership with us. That's the best way to support us, and, of course, you get access to everything that we've done back to our start in 2006. We have over 1,000 radio shows. We have a weekend live show that we do, so there's a lot of material there for you guys to dig into. But yeah, stay tuned. We'll be right back. See you on the other side.
aus Frieden, der